For those of you who are new to our church, and I know just from VBS that we have a couple of new visitors here, I am not Pastor Dan. Yeah, for those of you who came here to hear Pastor Dan and are now feeling sadly disappointed, I promise you I won't keep you here long. Right. And he will be back. He normally takes fifth Sundays. Actually, what really happens is fifth Sunday shows up on the calendar and his beloved wife goes, vacation. And she whisks him away, or they have a nice date or something. So it is a nice respite for him. So I am allowed to come up before you. I am Robert Abercrombie. I am the youth pastor for VIP. VIP stands for Victory in Progress, and those are our youth. Those are the wonderful people you saw sitting up here or standing up here singing. Those are the wonderful people who were crew members. Those are the wonderful people who were ushers. Those are the wonderful people who make my life so, so good. Now, it is. I look forward to them. They are my babies. They are my babies. So, like I said, we had VBS. And during VBS, the kids had a little thing that they had to say. So they had certain themes. So in one case, it might have said they had a Bible points of what they were called. And one thing they might have said was, Jesus gives us hope. Whenever they would hear one of those themes, they were told to reply, follow him. Okay? So during the sermon this morning, you may hear me say, Jesus gives us hope. If you hear that, you're supposed to reply, or you might hear me say, Jesus gives us encouragement. If you hear me say that, you're supposed to reply,
follow him.
All right, my VBS kids, I don't hear y'all because y'all know what to say. If I say, Jesus gives us love, you're supposed to reply,
follow him.
All right. Or if I say, Jesus gives us power,
follow him.
There you go. All right. I got that. Good. All right, so I'm going to need y'all this morning. I'm going to need y'all this morning. So when I say something, there you go. That's Catalea's mother, and she was very enthusiastic during this time as well. So this morning's message to you, to my youth, to all of my youth, okay, since we're in the month of spiritual warfare, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, a little bit about how Satan might come in against you at times, okay? A lot of times we get into our sufferings in life, and enduring that, you know, as a young person, we're not necessarily steadied or ready for what is about to come. Sometime in your life, Satan is going to attack. He's going to attack because he desires to kill, steal, and destroy from you. He attacks to prevent us from fulfilling our mission and our destiny. But if you know his tactics, if you know his game plan, then you're able to deploy the weapon that you really have. See, each one of you has a secret weapon that is already infused inside of you. So when those things start to get hard, or when you are starting to attack, I want you to do just one thing, and that's the title of our message today. I want you to depend on the source. Depend on the source. Merriam-Webster's simple definition of source is something or someone that provides a want or a need. Actually, I need my Bible. Being so young, you're used to your parents kind of providing all of your needs and your sustenance. But as you begin to grow older, you begin to take on a little bit more responsibility. You begin to take on some of your own bills. You begin to take on some of your own needs. You begin to take on, or at least try to take on some of your, fulfilling some of your own wants. Amen, 20-somethings? Shoot, 30, 40-something. Because at times it's hard.
Right.
Right. But also during that time, you're really, really introduced to Christ. You're really introduced to who he is. And because of your age, because of the development of where you are, you start to begin to start to ask some questions. You know, is he really who he says he is? Is this really the path that I want to take? Some of you even might ask, has the life I've led up to this particular point disqualified me from him accepting me in the first place? Yeah, that happens at a young age too. But you see, some of this, some of these questions, you're asking because there's a war going on behind you. There's a war that's at bay there, that's there to try to deprive you from what it is that you have really been created to do. See, this war has two sides. You have on one side Satan, whose game plan is really just to distract you from what it is that you're going to become. And then on the other side is Christ, whose game plan is to make you fully who it is that he's created you to be. But see, God has been nice to us in that he provided us with a battle plan. And this battle plan frequently reveals a lot of Satan's plans. One of Satan's tactics is that he tries to convince you that God doesn't want to accept you. Matthew 8 reads as follows. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now, here we have a man with leprosy. Now, I know I've spoken of it before, but just as a reminder, leprosy was a skin disease. It was a disease that got so bad that it eventually destroyed the nerves within the person's body. Their nerves became so damaged that they could now no longer feel when they bumped into things and could cause severe injury. Leprosy left untouched or uncured could even lead to death. So during that time, leprers were placed away in their own colony. Why? Because the disease itself was very contagious. So they were unable to partake in the temple. They were unable to partake in the festivals that went on when their sins were taken away by the priest. They were unable to partake even in the communion of one another. Okay? Leprosy in this particular passage is a metaphor in here in a way for sin. Sin in of itself is pretty pervasive. And when we have sin in our life, sometimes we feel like we are just separated from everything. It eats away at us. And so Satan tries to use it to say, because you have this disease, you should be separated from everyone else. You should be separated from all of these good people over here. You should be separated from the grace that God up there has for you because he's holy. And he starts to mess around a little bit with your mind to say, you're just not eligible to be accepted by him. Now, if you look at it, if you really look at it, you know, back in that time, you know, being clean as far as the law was concerned was the key point that showed your holiness. So if you were walking around unclean, then, you know, you were unable to participate. You were unable to be a part of the holiness. Having that belief that you're ineligible for God draws you away from the protection that you have. But in this scripture, Jesus comes back and said, no, I am willing. You see, Jesus in this scripture shows the leper love. Let's try that again. You see, Jesus in this scripture shows the leper love. There we go. That's all right. It takes some time to warm up. I understand that. It took them a while. By about day three, they got it. This is just one day for you, so you got a crash course. All right? So with Jesus saying that he was willing, what he was really saying is, look, your interest into the kingdom is not based upon you or how good you are or how bad you have been. It is based upon me being willing to take you in. You were chosen by me. Jesus said, I am willing. And with that, he said that the disease of sin is curable by me. See, leprosy back in those days was an unknown and couldn't be cured. Leprosy in these days, well, it's called Hansen's disease. Yes, it still exists. It's a bacterial infection. They didn't know what a bacteria was back then. And with the right antibiotics, and I think it's like a couple of months that it takes, it can be cleared up. See what the changing of time can do? But in this case, it was the changing of dispensations. It was the changing of the law to grace. See, once grace came down, God said, I got this. And because he had this, sin no longer had power. With Jesus' love, the leper was now a part of the community. Young people, there will be sins that come into your life. There will be things that try to separate you from the love of God. But because Jesus gives us love, there we go. You are instantly made eligible. So all you have to do is follow him. All right, so, well, you know, Satan, he and of himself, he's a persistent fella. So he decides to try to come at you in another way. You know, we all know that teenagers are a communal bunch. We know that you guys love to be with one another. And you love the fairness that is allowed on other people. So sometimes he tries to make it feel like others aren't eligible and that you are okay, so that he makes God seem like he's exclusive, like he's excluding others just so that, you know, he doesn't seem fair to who you are. Okay? When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came up to him asking for help. Lord, he says, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one comes, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Social media is great, but it has made our lives so in your face. Every time you turn around, you see an image of others who have more or less than you. You see images of people of great experience, or you see people that are falling down. You see injustices of life. You see the impacts of war. And there's always another shooting, riot, war, famine, or fatal disease waiting to take you or someone you know out. Life becomes just a parade of upsetting events targeting people who believe that they're just deserving as you. Yet it seems like another person is left out or hurting or down. See, this was the position of the commander in chapter 8. Here he sat. Now, this commander, he was a Gentile. But here he sat watching someone beloved of him fall ill. Death seemed imminent. But what he did was, is he made himself available to Christ. He called a lifeline. See, Jesus, in seeing him, gave him hope. Jesus gives us hope.
Follow him.
Very good. Through faith in Christ, Christ has given us power to bless and protect not only those around us, but also ourselves. Through faith, we see how Christ shows his love for this world and for everyone else. See, God is not just for a select few. He's for all of us. And the task that he has given us is to pray for them so that they can find them too. Too often we get wrapped up in, good catch. Too often we get wrapped up in looking at the world and wanting it perfect. We sit back and we see the evils that go on around us and it causes our heart pain. And that's okay. We should hurt for those. But during that time, God has given us an option to see things a little bit differently. You see, when he gives us hope, what he's doing then is he's changing our mindset. In psychology, there's this thing called reframing. And what's happening there is that you're able to take a look at a situation that has happened. Okay? And you're able to look at it and experience it in a different manner. Jesus, when he gives us hope, what he's saying is, look, yes, there are things out there that are hurtful and harmful, but they are not just something to be lamented. They are something to show my glory. Because each time something bad happens, it gives you an opportunity to pray for someone else. Each time something harmful happens, it gives you an opportunity to see how I'm going to work a miracle for them. Each time something bad happens, it gives me the opportunity to bring another one closer to me as they see the change I make in their life. Can you imagine the life of that servant after he got out of that illness? I can see him now laying in the bed, hurting, sweating, just having a hard time, and then all of a sudden starting to come to. I can see him just starting to look around and maybe having a little thirst, and all of a sudden running in is this commander. And the commander looks over at him. You know, I mean, this is my paraphrase of this now, y'all. So I'm adding just a little bit. Please forgive me. He comes in and looks at him and sees that he's better. And the servant's probably looking at him. He's like, why? What happened? He's like, no, you don't understand how this happened. See, I met a man. Now, all I said was that you were ill, and he said you were healed, and look at you now. You see, once we engage in the power of God, once we're able just to submit to him, all things become available to us by his power. not by our own. Come on now. Come on now. I'm trying to keep going, y'all, but this is hard. Okay. All right, so even in that, Satan tries a little bit different. Because see, now if he can't take your eyes off of God, then one thing he's gonna try to do is take your body and try to harm it. Okay? He's gonna try to harm you through your sickness or try to take away things like that. Verse 14 says, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and he felt her. And she got up. And the fever left her. I'm sorry. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on them. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and carried our disease. Back in the day, we used to play this little game called Ring Around the Rosie. Y'all remember that? Okay. Ring around the rosies, pocket full of posies. Now, I thought it said ashes. It's actually not ashes. It's at you. It's actually at you. At you. At you. We all fall down. Learn something new every day. Now, how many of you remember what the poem was all about? I know. Huh? What was it about? Huh? It's a disease, absolutely. It's about the bubonic plague. Now, we walk playing around the roses out laughing. We had no idea. We had no idea. We singing and talking about a plague that devastated Europe. I didn't know. I was about that big. So. And if you ask the youth, I'm still about that big. It wasn't pleasant, and I know it's not pleasant, but When you think about it, our health sometimes, you know, if anything's going to distract us from our spirituality, it's our health. Pastor at one point asked us a question in staff meeting about, you know, whether or not you would rather lose your hearing or lose your eyesight. He always asks these questions, and I'm like, I don't want to think. Paradoxes and stuff like that. So anyway, you know, and for me, you know, it was eyesight. And the reason it was eyesight was because, you know, I've always taken pride in being able to see. You know, when I was young, actually even into my 20s, you know, I had the eyesight of a pilot. You know, what most people could see from 10 feet away, I could see from 20. You know, and it just... You know, like Marlo over there, you know, could read the littlest of things and was just had, you know, marvelous eyesight. And as I got older, but having that, you know, it shook me. It shook me a little bit, and it kind of caused me to doubt a little bit. Challenges in our flesh take various forms. They can be chronic and they can be sporadic. They can be like hearing loss or speech impediments. But also what they were also talking about in this scripture when they mentioned demon possession, in this particular part, they weren't necessarily talking about the demon possession. They were actually talking about mental illness as well. Because that was the understanding that they had at the time. Mental illness during that day, you know, well, as we know now, could take the form of depression, bipolar, borderline personality, schizophrenia. And as soon as those things were anxiety, and as soon as those things were felt on you, all of a sudden you felt like, you know, life just, it wasn't the same. You couldn't be the full of who you were. And so Satan would try to use that to say, because you're damaged, how can you possibly fulfill what God has for you? Because you're not good enough. But see, like in law, God had a precedent. See, I'm going to give you a try. Jesus gives us courage. See, Jesus says, all right, fine. I don't mind if you have boils on your feet. So did Job. I don't mind if you can't talk, because so did Moses. I don't mind if you have the limp, because so did Jacob. I don't mind if you're cross-eyed, because so was Leah. I don't mind if you're dead, because that was Jesus. You could take Lazarus too, because he came right back, and look at the mighty things that he was able to do. You see, if you allow for God to do what he does with him, our infirmities are turned into testimonies. He can use our misfortunes as inspiration to help others. How many of you ever heard of a man called Inky Johnson? Inky Johnson? No? Inky Johnson was a defensive back for the University of Tennessee a few years back. Had grown up fairly poor, kind of knew of his dad, not that much, you know, got into college, great defensive back. He is in his senior year. He has just been told that he is going to be a prospect, a high draft prospect in the NFL. He's in his third game, having a marvelous game. Wide receiver comes out the back to catch a pass in the flat. He levels a hit and goes down. Teammates come over to him and say, get up. He's like, I can't. They call the stretcher over. They place him on the stretcher, take him out of the stadium, take him to the hospital, and not soon later, the doctor rushes in to let him know that they're taking him in for emergency surgery. Apparently, the hit that he had made had caused a rupture within in the shoulder and arm area, and the rupture was so severe that it was about to affect his heart and brain and kill him. So they took him back into surgery. They let him know that we're taking you into surgery. And that's the last conversation he had with the doctor at that point. They take him into surgery, fix everything up. He comes back out. The doctor, when he wakes up, says, Inky, you know, I have some bad news for you. Now, Inky's looking up at the doctor and saying, look, now in the last conversation we had, you said I was going to die. So any conversation we're having at this point is a bonus. He said, well, Inky, he said, stop, doc, one question. I have only one question. When am I going to be able to play football again? The doctor said, well, Inky, that's the bad news. It's like the injury that you had caused the nerve damage in your arm, and you'll never have use of your right arm again. Now, Inky laid there contemplating these things. He sat there and said, okay, what are my alternatives? Yeah, I have an education. He's made it through 4 years. But my dream was to be in the NFL. Yeah, I have my life, but my dream is gone. Now, if we allow Satan to do the things that he really wanted to do, I'm sure there was like, you know, remember the cartoons with the little devil on one side and the angel on the other? I'm sure he had a little devil on this side. I'm like, yeah, Inky, this look bad. This is bad, boy. Tell you what, you know, they got you on this morphine drip. Just hit it an extra couple of times. You'd be all right. It'll be nice and soothing. There's nothing for you to live for now. But then there was something on the other side. And it said, ink. Yeah, this is bad. But boy, can you see the possibilities? Ink, this hurts. But can you imagine having to feel to tell somebody else who's hurting? Ink, we didn't make it to the NFL, but we were this close. Imagine if we can go talk to some dudes who are just that close as well, how we can encourage them to move forward. Ink, it's bad, but guess what? This is not the end for you, my brother. I got something better for you. See, the NFL may have been your dream, but it wasn't your destiny. Fame and fortune may be your dream, but it might not be your destiny. He said, Ink, I got something better for you. I'm going to take your infirmities. I'm going to take your hurt and your pain, and I'm going to turn it into a testimony. Right now, if you look up Inky Johnson on the internet, he's a motivational speaker. He talks to universities, and he talks to football players, and he talks to other people who have gone through some of the things he's gone through, who are at that cusp, ready to become great, and he tells them how to get there. You see, when God encourages you,
follow him.
Amen. When he encourages you, then that means your life has even more motivation than what it might have had when it's just in our own strength. But to do it, it takes a cost. You see, our infirmities can keep us down, but it's our decision to not believe God that makes more, that to not believe that God can make more out of it. 100% of our power is less than 1% of his. But see, to get there, it's going to take a cost. Scripture talks about in this next part of chapter 8, it talks about the cost that is there. That cost, you start to see, it's kind of like a game called Would You Rather. Have you ever heard of it? You know, would you rather? You know, would you rather, what did the VBS kids say? Would you rather eat a shoe or a beetle? Neither? No? Okay. Hey, that was the choice they gave me in the book. I didn't read it. I didn't do it. Okay. But in this instance, the cost that he's asking you is really, would you rather? Would you rather try to do things in and of your own power, or would you rather try to do things empowered by who he is? We're almost done, y'all, I promise. In life, would you rather is simple. The world is primarily self, and it's about power to perform, while on the other half is Christ. The world attempts to set itself up as petty or pretty convincing. It flashes money and fame and fortune, and it sets happy as the bar and limits its hard work to more selfish purposes. See, that's on the one side. Would you rather have the world, or would you rather have Christ? If you have Christ, you have supremacy. Abaku read out of 1 Colossians 15 through 20 about the supremacy of who Christ is. You see, Christ is the source of all things. When we are at a point to where we are having hard times, where is it that we can dig from to get what we need? Well, we go to the source. If you are deficient in money, where do you go? To the source. If you are deficient in strength, where do you go? To the source. If you are deficient in health, where do you go? To the source. See, Christ is the source. He says he is the head of the body and the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. He is all powerful. So that despite any situation, he has subject to it. You go back and you look and say, look, this is a man that controls the wind and the rain. If he can control that, then why can't he control the storms that happen in your life? If he can tell the wind to stand still, then why can't he stop the turbulence that's going on in your life? This year has not been particularly an easy year for my family. There have been issues that my wife has had on the job. There's been issues that I have had in my counseling practice and even in my ministry. There have been sicknesses. There have been other things. There's just been doubts that have been there. And my guiding scripture, the one that I have not been able to kick, has been Romans 8:28. Because I look at everything and I wonder, God, how are you turning this for the good? But Christ was trying to tell you, I'm trying to reframe how you see things. Because if you could just hold on, I have the power to change it. If you just hold on, you can see where it is that I'm at work in your life. If you can just hold on, you can see how I'm creating a direction for you to go. Say, Jesus gives us direction. The last part of this chapter, Jesus has the healing of the demons. And from this last part, I'm going to give you just four things in order for you to use to teach you how to depend on the source. So just take these four things, and they're brief, and then I'll get y'all going. Scripture reads, when he arrived at the other side of the region of Gadarene, two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. And he said to them, go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave the region. First thing is God does not care how bad it is. It has been, or for how long. He is the source, and no ailment, infirmity, or even spiritual enemy is bad enough to stand against him. The first part of tapping into the source is just remembering that God is God. Second point is this. Make yourself present, not perfect, just present. You see, the two demon-possessed men, all they did was make themselves present. Their minds and their bodies were controlled elsewhere, but all they did was say, look, there is a man passing by. All I have to do is be in the midst, and he'll take care of it from there. All you need is to be in the place. It doesn't necessarily mean Valley Brook. Doesn't necessarily mean Ebenezer or some other church, Long Reach or whatever. It doesn't even have to be the church per se. It could be next to a nice calm brook. It could be sitting in the middle of a classroom. It could be just listening to the praises of his on the music on the radio while you're in your car. Just be present with God. Because if you're present, then you can hear him. If you're present, then he can make things happen. Just be present. Point three, yield to his will. As you saw what happened to the demons, they cowered at him. But the two men just said, "Yo, I'm yours." Just yield to his will. Don't try to hold on to what you have because it's familiar or even what you used to get out of. God has a much bigger bag of tools. What you have serves your purpose. So often we sit back and we try to hold on and say, well, you know, I sang for so long, or I preached for so long, or I did this for so long, or I did this for so long. How many in some of the more senior youth in this room can attest to that, how they did things, one thing for so long, and then at some point just switched? And what they did following that brought them even more joy than what they did for the many years that they were there. Just because what you are doing right now has stopped working doesn't mean you're broke. It might mean that it's time for a change. Just follow his direction. Just watch where he is leading. Because if you're willing to take that up, the blessings are coming. Amen. Lastly, know that not everyone is going to like it. But it wasn't about them anyway. The biggest piece to depending on the source is infusing yourself into the source. If you can just make yourself in him, grab on to whatever it is that he's offering you. Sure. I said, lastly, know that everyone is going to like it. Is not going to like it. Not everyone's going to like it. But it wasn't for them anyway. Choose to infuse yourself into the body of the one. Because like I said, they're not going to like it. They're going to refute it. They're going to move themselves from it. But once you are attached to the source, once you are infused with who he is and what he has available, then he's going to change you and make you fishers of men. Amen? Follow him. Amen. You've come on up. Right. That's probably okay.